Today's episode of the Chromecast is brought to you by Visor for Chromebooks. Are you a school or a school district with a Chromebook one-to-one program? If so, get ready for your summer intake today with Visor for Chromebooks. Visor is a Chromebook management solution which seamlessly integrates with the Google Admin Console and your student information system. With Visor, you can easily see which student has which Chromebook, manage repairs, and even automate disabling lost or stolen devices while notifying parents, all in one click. Listeners to this podcast can get 2 months free, so be sure to tell them you heard about Visor on the Chromecast podcast to qualify. To learn more, do a Google search right now for Visor for Chromebooks. That's V-I-Z-O-R for Chromebooks, or click the link in the show notes. Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe Humphrey, and I am joined here today by Gabriel Brangers.
Hello.
And Robbie Payne.
What's up? That was a quick hello.
I am vibrant today.
Like he knew he was going first today.
Yesterday,
juiced up and ready to go.
Yesterday was rough for me. I had something going on with my neck, and it was everything I did was difficult. Today I woke up, I'm a little sore, but I feel better. Robbie brought in the chirp wheel, so I got to stretch it out a little bit, and I am ready to go. And it feels like a Friday.
It does.
This podcast is not brought to you by Chirp Wheel, but Chirp is awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just check and see if they have an affiliate. We'll just sign up real quick.
Nailed it.
The Chromecast is now brought to you by Chirp.
Yeah. We figured that out.
Powered by fresh roasted coffee and Chirp.
Chirp. That would make a sense for us, actually.
I'm going to look.
They're on share sale. So
cool. Yep. Yeah, there we go. We'll throw a link down there. Yeah, it actually is a great product.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic.
Most of what we do from an advertising perspective, like, we have a lot of partners that we work with, but some of these products, if you all are unfamiliar, are affiliate programs, basically. So we find products that we really like and advocate for and recommend truly, like, it's stuff that we've used, and then they have, you know, some sort of referral or affiliate program. So, you know, this could be one of those products where Robbie bought it and you got the whole set, didn't you?
Yeah. So they have three sizes. The bigger is the more mild version, and as the wheel gets smaller, it's just, you know, surface area, physics, you know, it
more
works
condensed,
out. It's more intense. With my body weight and size, the big wheel is the right size. Yeah. I get to the smaller ones, man, and it feels like it's going to go through my spine.
I can imagine.
So it's awesome, though, because if I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but if you've used a foam roller, like, you understand, like, what benefit there is to rolling out certain muscles and kind of getting those muscle fibers to relax and kind of chill out. It's very hard with a flat foam roller to do that on the center part of your back.
So
those muscles really converge around your spine. The flat foam roller kind of takes the weight and disperses it across your entire back versus having it, like, centered on those muscles right around your spine. Well, that's where the chirp wheel comes in.
Yeah, because I have hard foam roller for my hip. I've been trying to work out more lately.
Chirp would not be great for that.
Right.
Chirp is very specific.
It's perfect for that because the muscle that leads from the side of your glutes down your leg is flat, and you can roll that out and stretch it out. So I like to do that before I work out. I tried using it on my back one time, and it was excruciating.
Yeah.
Not that the chirp wheel's, like, super comfortable, because you're stretching things, but it's made to go right there in that pocket on each side of your spine.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. We shouldn't go on a tangent here, but I was at one point doing a pre-PT program in college and was super into all this stuff. And yeah, foam rolling has its benefits. I think, like, in a specialized thing like this chirp is really interesting, though, because it's a specific thing, like, right?
Right.
Like, some people think, like, oh, I'm just going to foam roll and it's going to fix everything. Like, no. Like,
negative.
Yeah, that's not going to work. But there are obviously use cases for it, and this chirp wheel is a specific kind of thing.
That's why Robbie and I, back in another life, worked for a doctor, and he had a hydro massage table. And if you've ever used one of those, the water jets run up and down specific areas on your back, and it was so great to lay on it. the chirp wheel takes it to an entirely new level because you're using your own body weight is stretching the muscles out. It's not a massage, it's a stretch.
I struggle with thoracic, like right between my shoulder blades, and man.
Well, and for people that do work like us, it's
sitting at a computer.
Yeah, there's certain stuff like between your shoulder blades that you're aggravating that you may not even know.
Oh, yeah.
Like as you're just sitting there typing and using a mouse all day. And that I hate, like there are days that I go and I don't hop on that chirp wheel. It takes 5 minutes, you know, just kind of roll it out for a few minutes and I feel so much better when I use it. But again, this isn't a plug for that. This was actually, this was not planned. But
this turned into a spot by accident, but there you go. Actually do recommend it. So
I've had it at home and, you know, I've said, I need to bring that wheel over. And Gabe was so jacked up yesterday. I was like, I will make sure and grab the chirp wheel and bring it over tomorrow. Yeah. So
there you go. There was our spot.
Brought to you by Chirp and Fresh Roasted Coffee.
We're gonna see if we can get signed up with them. So one other quick thing, our On the Run to 200K, we hit our second milestone.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Won't be long. So, we'll be at our third, to be honest.
Rolling along. We're picking up a little steam here, and I love it. So
speaking of steam, no, that's
hey, this is my time. This is my time.
My bird.
So yeah, our On the Run to 200K giveaway is chugging right along. We're doing random prizes leading up to our grand prize, and we're doing it every 2,500 subscribers. So, and it's going to be a random prize each time. So you go ahead and get entered to win now. Like, don't wait to be like, oh, well, I'm going to wait for that one, because it's going to be random. We've got some great stuff to give away, all powered by MediaTek. Huge shout out to them for helping to make this giveaway possible. So go check it out. And if you're listening to this at some point in the future and this giveaway is done, we probably have another giveaway going. So just go check the website.
Yeah, we'll give something away.
we're always trying to give something away.
Yeah, we have so much stuff around.
We have had an ongoing giveaway running for what feels like this entire year.
It's been constant,
but it's awesome. Yeah, because I mean, you know, when we first started this, we talked about doing giveaways, and at that point we were trying to grow this thing, and we never wanted to do it as a way to entice people to, you know, consume our content. And now it's not that. Now it's, we get to give back to all the people that have gotten us to where we are, which is so cool.
And we've developed partnerships with people and are able to do something like, you know, this extended giveaway with the help of MediaTek. And it's an awesome thing. Go check it out. We'll link it and everything. So, all right, let's dig into some news of the week. I think the main news, if you are interested in Chromebooks and Chrome OS, you might have read on our website that Chrome OS 91 is out and about, and we have a video that will probably go out today. Yeah, that the 91 video you're going to put out. So
this afternoon.
So as you're probably listening to this, the video will be out. Maybe we'll retroactively add it to the podcast if you don't put it out before. I don't know. Whatever. We'll figure it out. Go check the website. We'll link it.
I'll probably do it first and then get the podcast out so I can link it easily.
There we go. Easy peasy. So we have a video talking about a couple of these new features, but we wanted to run through a couple of them here on the podcast. So let's get some of those weird ones out of the way first.
Yeah. So
I don't want to say weird ones.
Yeah.
But they're kind of weird.
Yeah. Chrome OS. I'm checking real quick. The... let's see, Voltier. Nope. So, okay. So that still holds true. Right now, 91 is out for almost everybody, but the main two groups left out at this point are Voltier, which are the new Tiger Lake Chromebooks, and then your new Jasper Lake Chromebooks. Both of those groups do not have 91 at this point.
We were kind of talking yesterday, like there's not a ton of those out and about, so maybe they're just kind of...
There's not, there's barely
any. Has it updated from yesterday, or is it still about the same?
It looks the same to me. I didn't exactly take a screenshot, but yeah, it looks
like
it.
Why not? You can do a scrolling screenshot on there. I mean,
can you?
Yeah, with the screenshot tool.
We can do scrolling screenshots.
Did you? Where have you been?
Are you making this up?
It's a video.
You're making this up.
It's a video screenshot.
Oh, it's a video. Oh, okay.
It's a scrolling
screenshot. I thought it was one where you click the screenshot, you know, and it scrolls until you click, like OnePlus does. I'm like, okay, I feel better.
I mean, it's the same thing. But
there were some like plugins that you used to be able to get a whole page on a huge long.
No. That's not a thing.
Yeah, there are some plugins you can use, and it'll do it. You'll see it take the screenshot and scroll the screen.
It's kind of cool.
And it paste it together.
Yeah.
There's some phones that do that, and I could see 100% of them doing that.
My old OnePlus did, but I don't know if it's on here or not.
Because I haven't used it in forever.
I remember getting an update and then taking a screenshot, and it said, click here to scroll.
Yeah.
let's just try it.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Moose.
See what happens.
Joe had a question. Where are you seeing that?
So for those listening, where are you looking to see what devices have?
The article I put out about like these, most everybody's getting it and they're not, yada, yada. I'll link it in there, but it's cross.tech, C-R-O-S, Chrome OS dot tech. I don't remember who is responsible for this.
Yeah, we wrote about it. I spoke with the young lady who co-developed it with somebody. It's just something
it's just pulling from Omaha.
They designed a nice little website that pulls all that information but makes it clean and searchable. And there you can even get the you can grab your ISO images for three or four versions back if you want to revert a device or whatever.
Yeah, so it's a super handy site. It's well laid out. You can search for your device if you know the device name. And then you can just look at a table that has everything on it, and you can just kind of look down the side and see that almost everybody's on 91 right now. Again, it's just a particular couple groups that aren't. And that's not surprising, again, since a lot of these devices aren't out there. I mean, Tiger Lake specific, there's what? Main ones, the HP X360 14C, the new one. Are there any other mass Tiger Lake? The CX5 is widely available.
Which one did you say? You had the Acer. HP. The HP. With the Acer you can't buy.
Yeah, yet. The Acer's not out there yet.
Yeah.
That's about it. So,
yeah, that's it.
Even though there are other devices that are been announced, that kind of stuff.
514, but it's not available yet either.
It's not that surprising. They can take a few extra minutes and... It'd be cool if they went ahead and rolled Android 11 over to Tiger Lake. That would be cool, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, this update's interesting because it's not this massive overhaul. It's like the last couple updates we've been tracking all these big features, and they all landed in 89 and 90. We got a bunch of new features. I mean, you had Tote and the media player and Phone Hub and screenshot tool and big updates to the virtual desks, and that's just a lot of stuff that kind of landed in two updates. So it feels like they're probably in the mode to like kick things back a notch, and I would expect at least the next couple updates to be kind of like this, incremental, like fix your bugs, fix a handful of things, add a feature here and there.
Yeah, I'm a foodie. He said kick things back a notch. I just thought of Emeril because we were watching the new MasterChef, and he was a guest judge on there last night. He kicked things up a notch, not back a notch.
Up a notch. That's fair.
Anyway.
Okay.
And so, like with 91, Google announced specifically a couple of things that we all agree were all there before. So the imagination.
Yeah, real weird.
I even looked. The imagination wallpapers are all the same. They were all there already, but they chose to highlight that as a new thing. They chose to highlight, what was the other little tiny thing? I'm going to have to go look now. Dag on it.
The available offline.
Offline files.
Yeah, offline files.
That one was weird because I thought there were some new wallpapers.
I went back and checked. I still have a device on it. This device is on 89, and it's got the same wallpapers. So, but
yeah, the available offline thing, I don't use that personally.
I don't either, but I know it's been there for a little bit.
A minute.
So you can select a file or a folder in your Google Drive in your file manager and just click a toggle up top, and it's available offline for you to use and save and work with and all that kind of stuff. Those weren't huge features, obviously. But then there's one that's a small feature, but a nice feature, PWAs, and I'm assuming Android apps as well can take advantage of this. I don't have a ton of Android apps, but notification badges. So if that app is coded fully as a PWA, so like where I pin Discord as a shortcut, works like a PWA, but you know, and it should be. Discord should do that. Their web app is so fantastic. But I don't know that the notification will work on that one because it's technically just a web shortcut. It's not, they don't have everything maybe in line. Yeah. But the Twitter app, for instance, I'm looking, the device I'm using right now is still on 90. And I know if I click this Twitter icon down here, it's going to open up. I will have I've got 20 plus notifications over there. There should be a badge on this. And if I were on 91, there would be a little bitty circle on the top right letting me know you've got some notifications, take some action. So, you know, Gmail messages, social media stuff, that kind of stuff. It would be nice to be able to have that quick badge to know there's something I need to look at.
Did we clarify if it's going to show numbers or not?
It doesn't. At least it's so the ones we're seeing.
Graphics.
I think they made a mistake at I/O when they showed that. They
it was
showed,
just a mock up and, mm-hmm. and it, yeah, it was wrong. Because I would hate that. I don't like that.
I can't stand it.
Do you remember like back in the day, like iPhone? Like,
oh, it turns into an oval the number is so high.
And mine was just like 999,999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999
If you have a notification, you have a notification. What do you exactly. need to know? I've got 7 or I've got 12.
Yeah. Like, it's just a cue to say,
hey, this in. Probably needs some attention at some point. And it's just so much more subdued. Notification badges are cool without numbers.
And I'm assuming you can turn this off if you don't like it.
I don't know.
Yes, you go to the sorry, I'm over here messing with my notifications on my phone because my phone's messing up again. You go to the notifications in the quick settings.
I'm on 90.
Yeah, he won't have it there.
I won't have it. You have to
you're broken. So yeah, you gotta just go to notifications, and there's a toggle at the top that says app badging.
Perfect. That's even that's even better.
You know the way the way it should be.
Yeah, I love
so
that.
So you don't even have to dig into settings. That's perfect. So again, like I like this cadence that they have right now of waiting till a thing is ready and then delivering it to people. And there's no better showing of this. Like Virtual Desk was like this, even though it was simplified when they first put it out. It worked really well.
Right. They didn't bring all the other features until they were ready.
Yeah, and they were cooler features. They made it a better overall feature.
Exactly.
They weren't necessary. And that screenshot tool is the same way. Like when they rolled it out, perfect. It's great. Like I don't have any complaints about it. And they've added a few little things like the microphone toggle or whatever. But ultimately, they rolled out a fully baked product to Chrome OS. And they've done the same thing with Nearby Share. And that's the big trumpeting feature of Chrome OS 91, and rightfully so.
Because it's cool.
Well, I spent all morning, honestly, because I kind of figured it would have issues. Because how long have we been using Nearby Share now?
Oh, gosh.
In development, using with flags and different channels and all that stuff. It's been months.
I was going to say a year. Months. But yeah, maybe.
And, you know, when it first started showing up, we tried it and knew it was going to be broken and, you know, try this and try that, and every time it would show up,
we would try moving like bigger files, and they would never work. Like whenever we do all of our Patreon videos, we were trying to move them, and it wouldn't work.
Yeah, I mean, and I just kind of expected it not to work. It was in development, and it's a complex thing. Like what we're doing here, it looks really simple, and that's the magic of what they've created. It's the magic of what Apple's AirDrop is. It's a complex behavior that is made to look simple and easy to use.
So you wrote Android's upcoming AirDrop-like feature is being worked on for Chromebooks. That was in April
2020.
Of 2020. Yeah, so it was probably early summer when we first saw it.
So it's been over a year that we've been seeing pretty broken versions of this thing. So to be fair, it rolled out in 91 and I just hadn't tested it yet. I kind of expected it would be busted. Like, not busted, like not works, but, you know.
There'd be little bugs.
Jank. Connections drop. Yeah. It won't find my phone. I tried
different
to do this thing.
You know, yeah, work,
and I was like, eh. Like so I set out to test it and really put it through paces because we wanted to make a Chrome OS 91 video, and I wanted to be able to talk about it intelligently. So I spent a good hour and a half just doing every possible scenario I could, and it worked literally every time. Every situation I put it in, the only time it didn't work is when I turned Wi-Fi off on my phone. And it said, hey, you need Wi-Fi on to do this. So there's something going on because the devices I was sharing between, I was putting them on different Wi-Fi networks. We've got one for the main office, and then we've got our own network. And even though they're pulling from the same source, they are two different networks with two different SSIDs and two different passwords. So they're not connected. When we're not on one network, all of our Chromecast and, you know, accessories aren't available. You can't see them. They're not part of the same network. And so I put one Chromebook on one network and one Chromebook on the other and fired up Nearby Share. Works. Did put my phone on one network, the Chromebook on the other, fired it up. Works. Shot stuff from my phone to my Chromebook. Works. Shot stuff from the Chromebook to the phone. Works. Chromebook to Chromebook. Works. Every single time without fail. Didn't have any issues finding devices. So once I had them all set to only contacts. As long as the contacts were shared between the two, never had an issue finding them. Remove the contacts and use the, you know, make visible to everyone. Works like you'd expect it to. Turns itself off after 5 minutes. I mean, it, and part of this, I think, is work that has been done on the Android side as well. Mm-hmm. So the Android version of Nearby Share is better and more cohesive. But what they've done on the Chromebook is it's fantastic. It's not just a, oh, this is a cool little thing you might use every once in a while. I'll use this all the time now. I think this will fall in line with the same thing as whenever your recent photos start showing up in the phone hub. Like, it's going to be that kind of daily, very useful productivity thing. Because, I mean, it's awesome. It's just awesome to think, like, I just took this video, you need it real quick. Or you took a video and I need it on my Chromebook. Instead of, I'll upload it there, I'll wait till it shows up and drive, and then I'll download it, whatever. Then you just, boom, shoot it right to me. Which, you know, oh, you took that photo, shoot it right to me.
I'll tell you, that's horrible, because you up... It's so weird how Drive works, because, like, I do these little side videos on the side on the weekend for our church, and I'll upload them to Drive, and if I go to another computer, I can download them, but I can't watch them. It's usually, like, an hour before they process. But you can still download it. It's just, like... This is so much easier. I just open up Nearby Share and I send it to where I need it. It's so much quicker. So, man.
It's going to be very, very beneficial. Something that I think a lot of users are going to find a lot of worth in. And on top of that, like the share sheet, even in the Files app. Now, you know, I've got Android apps on, and you'll see it in the video when it rolls out. Like, you know, I can share stuff in the Files app right too. We didn't kind of glossed over that. Has the share sheet in Files been there? Officially,
we talked about that in the last version.
I'm in beta, so it was one of our.
See, I always get confused whether
because we're always
some
in
of our
channels and
yeah. I always forget whether our videos we've done are the flags or the main updates. I know it's been in one of those, so we've talked about it.
But I love, you know, the share sheet opens up now. If I click on this image that I have, you know, because this is 89 on this device. You
can send it to Squoosh.
You know, I can just hit Squoosh and boom, it just opened in Squoosh. And I know that's simple. I know that's a simplified thing that isn't that big of a deal. Right click and open with has been around on Windows for a decade or two decades or whatever. That's not new. And Chrome OS can do that too. But having that share button up there, it's just become this, especially for Android users. I realize iPhone users, meh-ish. Kind of, because it's more locked down. But for Android users, it's one of the benefits of using Android. Like, you just got to look around. There's usually a share button, and when I click it, I can send this thing, this file, this address, this copied and pasted text, this image, this whatever I got, I can click that share and usually leverage it with something that I've got on my phone. And I love that. It's flexible, and it's quick, and it's easy, and now it's just kind of becoming slowly but surely a part of Chrome OS. You know, we don't have share options completely across the board. Like, I'd love to just see a share button at the top of the Chrome browser. Like, it should just be a share button. I can copy and paste the URL. It's the open web.
An Omnibox share sheet?
Yeah.
It might happen.
It's on the way.
I wrote about the flag, but it's kind of working in Canary. So you can share from the Omnibox, but there's an option to when you share to your Chromebook from your phone, there's a new little icon that pops up there to let you know, hey, you just got something from another device. So, but yeah,
even like if I right click an image here, there should be a share button. I mean, it should just be ubiquitous. Like,
that's crazy.
Sharing has become part of the way that you, that's what I would do on Android.
Sure.
I would right click that image and a share thing. I'll click share and I'm going to go send it somewhere.
That is weird.
I get we're on a desktop. It is different because now from the desktop, I have the ability to do more stuff. It's more functional. But go ahead and include the simplistic thing too, you know, especially because it's just becoming so much more
natural.
Yeah, but
that's just become the nature of navigating the web, which is where we spend most of our time anyway. So, yeah, you should be able to, any image, I mean, honestly, you should be able to.
The context menu should have share in it.
Links or whatever. Yeah, I should just be able to click share.
And I think we'll get there. I think that's the direction things are moving. And I think at first, the whole share idea was something that was there on mobile devices in lieu of the more functional stuff that you have. I can copy paste on here, and then I just paste it into such and such. And, you know, it is more functional. But the share sheet's just kind of nice to have. It's simple. And it's, I think, again, something that from the mobile world, our brains have just kind of latched onto. And it's like, oh, this is how we send things places. And, you know, we get that question a lot. Like, where's the share button, you know, on a Chromebook? It's like, well, I mean, the URL is right there. You know, it's right there. So, yeah, it is what it is. But I think eventually we'll get to the point where you know, that stuff's ubiquitous, and, yeah, and we'll just have sharing all over the place. And whether it's a Chromebook or Android or whatever, it's just, it will work. And part of that will be, I don't know that you would want to use Nearby Share for some of that stuff that we just said, but you might. If there's an image that's right there, and I found that image you were looking for. Oh, where is it? Well, right now I've got to grab the URL, go to a messaging app and click it or whatever. Or with that, you just right click, the share button's there. I click it, hit Nearby Share.
Gabe's right there.
Your Chromebook. Mm-hmm. Now, boom, it just pops up.
Yep.
That's so much cooler.
I could see that being... I could definitely see that being a scenario, especially for us.
Because right now I can already, if I scrape some paste in an article, I can send
link to or that.
Some text. I can send
scrape some paste. He's eating the rubber
if
cement
I scrape
ball.
Some text in this article, I can send it to my phone.
Right.
I should be able to do the same thing. I should be able to right click this image and then send to my devices should work, but it's not there yet. It's getting there.
So I can't remember before, as we were talking about Share Sheet, you were talking about something with Nearby Share that led to, and then we kind of breezed over that. I can't remember where
just the Share Sheet in the Files app. Yeah. The fact that it's there. And that reminds me, that feels like a mobile OS sort of thing, the way it pops up. And Gabe's talked about it. It's coming to the Omnibar in the Chrome browser, and it needs to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's the open web. You can grab, there's a URL for everything. Everything's got a URL. For the most part. And so I get that, you know, in general, you can just copy that and paste it somewhere. But no, there's just something about the share button that just works.
So, that's awesome. And then, just to go back to Nearby Share real quick, you mentioned this, I think, towards the end of that our video that we're going to be putting out. But it just feels so well baked. Google didn't just throw something out and it's kind of halfway working and not working. It worked in every scenario we tried, and it's awesome. So
if we're not careful, we're going to get used to Chrome OS features rolling out and just working all the time.
I really hope so. Hope that becomes the norm.
Just discovered, and I feel like I knew this was a thing, but maybe we haven't talked about it. So there's no share when you click on an image on a website, but the QR code creator for Chrome works for images. So I just sent you a link for it's on WhatsApp for an image. So I think will
the image just show up?
I think it's going to open the slug for our media.
What did you do to do this?
So I just right click the image and create QR code for this image.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's see what happens when you click it, and let's see what happens when I scan.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it just goes to the URL.
It's just going to take you straight there, I would assume. Same thing with this QR code.
Yep.
But to be fair, that's no different than right-clicking it, get URL, or copy URL, and that's it.
Total other random tangent here, but isn't it amazing that QR codes just made an awesome resurgence of the
path? I mean, they were foot in the grave completely. Yeah. I remember being in the car business, and they thought this is going to revolutionize. People can walk around the car, and they do. They still put QR codes on Maroney stickers so you can download that information for yourself, but they're like, people, this will change the way people buy cars.
Yeah.
No, it won't.
Yeah.
Because they still have to have somebody sell them the car. And then they started doing the Bluetooth, when Bluetooth Low Energy came out.
Oh, yeah.
Beacons. Put them on these cars.
Shopping
and when people are walking around, they'll get these notifications. I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
People are going to hate that.
Yeah. They'll hate that worse than us coming out there and breathing all over them like we do, you know?
But yeah, QR codes. They've made a resurgence.
Hey, they're great.
They're in the right context.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yes.
Very helpful.
And obviously COVID has forced that a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Okay. One other quick thing with 91. I think this was specific to 91, but Michael had written the article about the 23% faster. I don't even know exactly. What was that?
So they actually announced this at I.O. Spark plug. It's part of the new V8. So V8 is
it was a car thing.
Yeah, V8 is the JavaScript rendering engine for Chrome.
Right.
It has been for...
ever.
A long time. That's their rendering engine. I don't know all the techno babble around it.
Easy.
But in general, it wasn't me. Yeah, but the... the general idea here is, and I probably could just go read Michael's article verbatim, but Sparkplug provides just a 23% faster JavaScript rendering performance gain. It's a big jump. And as more and more of the web is more and more interactive, and there's more stuff that happens just on page and all that kind of stuff, all of that's JavaScript. We're not moving in a direction where there's less and less JavaScript. We're moving in a direction where there's way more JavaScript, because these are becoming, web pages are becoming application-like.
Would something like Input Mag be an example of this?
Yeah.
Is that probably all JavaScript, you think?
They probably got quite a bit of JavaScript running on their site. But what I'm thinking of is the Twitter PWA.
Yeah.
There's a lot of JavaScript going on in order to make stuff. Yeah,
it is an app
to where every time you click, it's not loading some new web page. It's all on page stuff that's happening, and that JavaScript has to then go hit databases and pull all this kind of stuff up without jumping you around pages and making it feel like static web pages linked together. It's stuff that's all happening in one window, one DOM, and it's just heavy. And even if it's not a PWA, there are more websites that are taking advantage of this type of thing. I mean, go to the google.com/Chromebooks and just scroll through their website a little bit. There's a lot going on and a lot of cool interactive elements, animations, and you can do a lot of animations with just CSS. There's a bunch of stuff you can do on page once it's rendered with CSS without needing to pull JavaScript in. It's all the interactive elements. Like when they click this, it's going to do that. And when they click on here, it's going to do this. And this is going to come in only when that goes. All of that stuff needs JavaScript to fire to work on a lot of if this then that. PHP that outputs a lot of websites is a server-side language. It's if this then that as the page is loading, and then it's done. There's no interactive elements on the page that you're pulling PHP code to go talk to the server.
It's not dynamic.
It's already loaded. Static, PHP is like, look, you got the page, I'm done. Until you load another page, I'm chilling back over here. JavaScript is front end, and it deals with those interactive elements as it goes. And so we're not going to see less JavaScript.
No,
we're
going to
see more JavaScript.
We're going to see more and more of this as more websites become app-like. Twitter is a perfect example.
Yep. And so, as PWAs keep growing, I mean, gosh, jump around in Discord's website. Like, calling it a website's ridiculous. It's absolutely an application that lives lives at a URL.
How is everything happening in Gravit Designer?
Oh, all JavaScript.
All JavaScript, right. Okay.
Yeah, every bit. And it's all, like, you're not reloading pages ever. No, it's all loaded in that DOM, and so it's all right there in front of you, and all that JavaScript has to be able to enact. When they do this, do that. If they click this, click that, and you talk about keyboard handlers and all this stuff, like, all that stuff's running through JavaScript, and so these things are heavy. Well, guess what? As Sparkplug rolls out and JavaScript performance gets better, it's going to make Chromebooks feel faster, too, because the majority of what we're doing on a Chromebook is web-based. The majority of web-based stuff that's interactive is JavaScript. Cool. This is just faster. It just means faster.
That's done.
It. Yeah.
Better. Yeah. Faster is better.
Yeah. It doesn't, do you really care how they got there? No. I mean, most people don't.
That is it.
There's a handful of us that maybe get into it a little bit. And if you are a JavaScript developer.
Oh, absolutely. You're like
100%. You're like, cool. So I can get away. I have a little more overhead to work with now, so I can push. And that's how computing works, basically. We get new chips that do more stuff, and then we get new renderers that do more stuff.
Developers
are like, ooh, I got some more overhead, so I can maybe add a little bit more in here.
That thing that was kind of slowing down my process, my UX is now...
I'm free to do that now.
Exactly.
And that's why old machines, even though they didn't get slower, the graphic stuff got more complex. And so a Chromebook that's 8 years old now feels slow. Not because that Chromebook got slower. It's just what it's having to deal with now. It's the processor inside was never meant, didn't even know that stuff was going to be a thing whenever it was made. So, because we talk about Chromebooks get faster. Well, then no Chromebook should ever feel slow, if that's true.
Sure.
It's not that it didn't get faster. It's just that its little incremental increases in speed didn't match now the heightened amount of content, basically, that's hitting it, that it just wasn't built for.
Yeah, right.
So,
at the end of the day, your experience on the web is getting faster.
Yeah, things should happen smoother.
Exactly.
Without the developer having to do anything those are always benefits. When
it's part of the framework that's getting faster.
Google or Apple or somebody changes and goes, okay, if developers will update their such and such, things will work better. It's always like, eventually that'll pan out.
That's a trickle down.
This is just eventually the JavaScript rendering engine's just faster, and so it's faster at dealing with JavaScript performance.
Love it. So I think that was everything in 91.
There was one other thing on Chrome OS 91 and Android, and a lot of people found interesting. It's a built-in screenshot tool in Chrome. So Chrome A has its own little share sheet that pops up that's not Android share sheet, which I don't know how I feel about that, but whatever. But it's in its share sheet, there's a new screenshot tool, and it's a screenshot tool that works in Chrome. And just in Chrome. So it's not your system screenshot tool, because Samsung and OnePlus and Google and who still makes Android phones? Lenovo? LG, who quit? LG quit?
LG quit. Yeah. Huawei doing their own thing.
Just all these different... Yeah. Everybody has their own screenshot tool, and it works in different ways, and yada, yada, yada. The benefit here is you've got one screenshot tool in Chrome that's got all the tools you need.
Yeah.
Crop tool, markup tool, text tool, rearrange it, color them, bold, not bold, blah, 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 all that stuff. And it just works. And so no matter now what any Android phone you pick up and hit that screenshot, you hit your share button, hit the screenshot tool, you're going to get the same experience across the board. And it's a little, you know, Gabe pointed this out. It's a little quicker, you know, than if I take a system screenshot, it's going to go wherever it goes. I got to go to it and hit share, pick the app, share it versus here, click it, get the screenshot, write it up, and then share directly from there.
Exactly.
And so it takes out a step. It's a little quicker. And then it gives you a UI that's consistent across the board. And at first I was like, "What? Why did they bother doing this?" And then after I used it, I was like,
oh, this makes sense.
I get it. Yeah. I like it. Whatever.
Yeah. Your image that we used in the nearby share was text. Yeah. I was like, oh, Robbie was playing around with screenshot.
It's in that article. Yeah, it's in there. You got text it. And you got markup tools. Yeah. So that's all you need.
So, all right. So there we go. That's everything. We're going to take a quick break for an ad, and we'll be right back, guys. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service, and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Today's episode of the Chromecast is brought to you by Visor for Chromebooks. Are you a school or a school district with a Chromebook one-to-one program? If so, get ready for your summer intake today with Visor for Chromebooks. Visor is a Chromebook management solution which seamlessly integrates with the Google Admin Console and your student information system. With Visor, you can easily see which student has which Chromebook, manage repairs, and even automate disabling lost or stolen devices while notifying parents, all in one click. Listeners to this podcast can get 2 months free, so be sure to tell them you heard about Visor on the Chromecast podcast to qualify. To learn more, do a Google search right now for Visor for Chromebooks. That's V-I-Z-O-R for Chromebooks, or click the link in the show notes. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. So the next thing we're going to get, we got a couple little pixel things here we want to talk about. Phone things in general.
Phone stuff.
And the first one, I'm kind of learning about this as we're sitting here talking, and Robbie's explaining it, and I was like, no, hold it. Let's just explain it on the podcast. So continue, sir.
So Joanna actually wrote about this a little bit back, and a lot of people covered it. I don't remember who the initiator of this might have been. XDA, first time around too, or 9to5. Somebody did an APK teardown, found this, some stuff in Google Play Services about a service called Esh, and the idea being it would be a mirror for whatever Android service was up on your phone when you needed it on your Chromebook. So think about like Windows, your phone, and Samsung's do this too. And the idea being like,
bless you.
Right now, for instance, I don't love the whole notifications coming from my phone, because all the messaging services I use on my phone, I have a web variant that I use on my Chromebook. So I end up getting double notifications all the time. And when you click on one of your phone notifications, it doesn't do anything because there's nothing for it to do. It's just there to let me know it's there. It's, I don't know. They're kind of weird. And they feel half-baked.
Really? It doesn't make sense.
It is weird. Yeah.
Like that. Now, There are obvious ways that it will work better. Messages, for one. My phone gives me that. When I click it, my Chromebook knows to open the Messages app here because they're tightly intertwined, and there's probably some lines of code that tell it, hey, I'm the same thing that's on that phone. I'll handle it. It's cool. But until developers do that, it doesn't work. But Esh would be kind of the ability, right, to kind of fix that. Like, you would click it, and it might open up like that, a little window. Yeah,
my guess.
And maybe open it on your phone, and then it mirrors that phone experience. Right,
because they've now added in code for resizing the Esh window. So I guess you could kind of set your default size. When you click on one of those interactions, it brings up a mirrored version of that from your phone. And then you can kind of position it and size it where you want
with
it.
Without having to open your phone? Like, the phone could be sitting on the desk face down. Like, normally I'll
have it,
that's the
assumption.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would, if it was anything, yeah, if it was anything else, it'd be kind of weird.
Yeah.
But honestly, I mean, think about it. You can cast your phone, I mean, via the very weak cast protocol and get a pretty good, you know, mirroring of your phone on a television. So, I mean, like, it's not talking about anything that's, like, groundbreaking. And then leverage WebRTC, which...
Somebody who's been building this for years is listening right now. They're like, no, it is hard, Robbie.
No, well, I'm what's sure his name? Really Justin. Yeah. Justin Newberry. Well, he's like, on. Yeah, that's all there is to it. Yeah, it's just that simple. That simple.
Justin Newberry was responsible for WebRTC.
Right.
And that's what is used in all sorts of different video moving stuff and conferencing apps and mirroring stuff and all that stuff. I don't know that the CAST protocol calls on that because it's been around longer than WebRTC ever was. And so this thing's going to use WebRTC, which is really, you know, low bandwidth. It doesn't need a whole lot of data. It just works really well for all sorts of applications. And so, you know, if my point was, if casting that's been around for a decade can do that already, we're not talking about some giant leap to be like, oh my God, you can mirror my phone into a window on my Chromebook? How? Like, of course, they have this in their back pocket. So
yeah, I mean, some phone makers have that built. LG, I think my last LG I had, I plugged it in my monitor and it was just there.
Yeah, so there's different ways that they can do some of this stuff, and apparently they're going to use WebRTC in this particular version of it. And you know, if it's just as simple, like we thought it was going to be as simple as you click on a WhatsApp notification, for instance, and instead of trying to open the WhatsApp web app on your Chromebook, it would just pop a window up. And you know, that window could be open on my, like, I don't know if it's going to look like you'll see it on your device as well. If it's a full mirroring, or I have no idea. Or if it can open up almost like a window in the background on your phone where it's showing it on your Chromebook, but not having to necessarily display it on your, I don't know. We don't know. But the idea being you click it, it opens up a window, lets you interact, and close it down afterwards. Which then begs the question, like, would I need WhatsApp web anymore? Would I need, you know, messages for web, or I don't know. I don't know how that stuff's going to work. But if I have to imagine, if I can click and interact in a messaging app or something like that from a notification that came from my phone, on my Chromebook, and then move it away when I'm done with it, that's probably the route I'm going to go. That way there's less like, well, I answered it on here and I didn't open, oh crap, I didn't open up WhatsApp on my Chromebook. Sometimes I forget to have them open in the background. So I'm not getting those notifications. If it's all just routing through that phone, that is still your main communication hub. I mean, it is. I think that's a win. That seems like a cool thing. But what Michael's writing about, it seems like they're maybe taking it to another level. Full-blown mirroring.
Yeah, I mean, the string that XDA uncovered from the APK teardown from Android was at Google Play Services. Yeah, Google Play Services. It says apps stream enabled description, and it just says stream apps to your Chromebook.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe.
Not sure how. So that, I'm assuming that would have to be initiated from your phone. So you use connected devices or device pairing, which they call it now, and you have an app open, and I guess it'd probably be living the share sheet as well. I mean, you probably just click share and then click the send to your devices, comes up via home phone hub.
And Michael said in the article, possibly, you know, maybe since there's already an app icon technically for Esh, this is the whole phone mirroring thing. Like, perhaps phone hub just gets kind of
beefed up with
this. Put into this, and you click it and you can interact with your phone, or you can just like click the mirroring button and
see your phone.
Your phone's there and you just interact with it. And I'm like, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah,
and that way when you sit down at your Chromebook, you set your phone down and you don't have to ever pick it up again until you close the Chromebook and walk away.
Unless you want to make a phone call.
if it's mirrored, why couldn't it just make
yeah.
I mean, honestly, sure. Why not?
Yeah. It's still routing through the antennas that are here. So yeah, it could work.
You're just mirroring sure. that display and controlling it. I don't know. We don't know what it's going to do. But it obviously, work is going on. It's happening. How they're going to choose to leverage this in the future. My guess, this sounds 100% to me like October, this is on your Pixel, you can do this with your Chromebook first kind of thing. I would be my guess. That sounds like this type of functionality.
Well, and it's so much of this connected devices, like everything kind of working together. And
well, that was one of their main three things for mm-hmm. Android 12 in the keynote at Google I.O. One of the three main pillars was
connect
devices, because they even used better together again.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't know. It's interesting because, like, so then what kind of stuff can I share? Because nearby share is still necessary, even for, but then, like, think if you could mirror your phone up here and you needed to grab that file off your phone.
Can you
use nearby share when that mirroring comes up? You can accept the nearby share just right here on your Chromebook screen. Like, you literally wouldn't have to pick the phone up off the desk when you sit down to your Chromebook. It's really cool.
That could be interesting.
Can I play PUBG?
Oh my gosh! Of course, yeah,
come on.
Of course, that's all Robbie wants
that's
to do.
The
Robbie
end game.
Just wants to play PUBG on his freaking Chromebook.
Oh no, because I guarantee you, Gyro won't be passed over that. No. So.
Nope,
it's out.
No,
it's over.
Forget never mind.
It.
Never
I didn't
mind.
Say it. Act like
so,
I didn't say it.
And it like so. This kind of leads into our next thing we're going to kind of mention here. So like. All of this, I feel like, is Google trying to do better about having everything connected, right? The whole better together thing. And as they're working on all of that and doing that, they're now building their own phones or their own silicon that is
right.
going to... They've been building their own phones for a while, Joe. they're working on the silicon. And now, I don't know if it'll be out. I don't know if the article will be out. If we're going to write it up. Did Michael say he was writing it?
Maybe.
Yeah, sure.
I got it mixed up between one and I don't know.
So there is a particular type of glass that has been used, a very thin type of glass.
Yes.
That is used in folding phones.
Yeah,
presumably.
That is made by Samsung for Samsungs. It's UTG, ultra thin glass. And apparently there's a report going around that Samsung is not only going to be making foldable displays, which we've known this, the foldable display part that they're going to be making them for Google has been open for a few months, I think, at this point. But now it's being said that not only are they going to get the foldable OLED from Samsung, but the UTG, this ultra-thin glass covering over it, which is very much a Samsung-only thing, they're going to be supplying that to Google as well. And so, obviously, the last couple of days, the internet's kind of gone a little crazy with this because it's just more signal that Google's making a foldable, like 100%.
Well, what's the one little graphic that we've used for a couple things?
Oh, it's
that
from
has,
the Chrome OS dev.
Yeah, the Chrome OS dev has a little foldable thing right there.
Yeah, and that's interesting that that's on Chrome OS dev. And I get it. Like, they have phones and tablets on there, too. So their whole point from their perspective is, hey, if your Android app works on Android, works on a foldable, you also need to make sure it works on the Chromebook.
Exactly.
Like do all the steps, because the Chromebook is just as much a part of this ecosystem now as anything else. And so at first, you know, we want to look at it and be like, oh my God, it's a foldable, you know, Chromebook, which would be awesome. Like put a Chromebook in a little foldable. It'd be fun. But there's so many things that they'd have to iron out. Like, we're not going down the Chromebook phone thing. Because the more and more Google moves into these directions, the more and more I think like Apple, there's certain things that they want to just keep separate. I don't see them making that play for a Chrome OS powered phone anytime soon. I just don't think that's a thing, especially you're going to work on mirroring an Android phone to a Chromebook. Like,
yeah,
it definitely doesn't seem like something you'd be doing if your end goal was to make a Chrome phone. But to
Chrome
make
phone.
Them, to make them work together Chrome more seamlessly, 100%. And so, you know, it'd be awesome to see a foldable, you know, Pixel phone that could dual boot Chrome OS or something. That would be neat, you know, because it's a pretty good size display that you could keyboard and stuff up, but that's probably not what's going on here.
Yeah.
More than likely, you know, Google knows that the foldable scene is is going to keep going. Like, Samsung has stuck with it for a reason. Like, yeah. I know it's not making them a ton of money, but they see this as the future.
Right, but look at, they have devices. That one commercial that they've been running like crazy. That is the Flip and the, what's the other one? The
Fold.
The Fold and the Flip. I mean, it's crazy to sit and watch this because we think about handling that one at CES 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. The FlixPi.
Yeah, Royal like, Alex oh, this Pi. Is so cool, but like, this is so much the future. Well, I mean, tech moves at light speed. We're 2 years into this, and I mean, like Robbie said, the manufacturers know that this is the direction things are going. It's not going to overtake the phone market, but this will be a solid segment of the phone market. I mean,
I could
honestly
see eventually it if the technology keeps moving in the right direction, I could see it overtaking standard
phones.
Right, because you think about like the old school flip phones. Why were they so popular? Because they created a compact design for phones, and then screens became a thing, and then it evolved back to big phones and phablets because people wanted more screens. Well, people still want compact. They still want portable. They still want versatile. Now you can have your big screens and have all the versatility too. So, yeah.
Right. I mean, and Samsung's using it in both ways. I think that's beneficial, that if you really are prizing a super compact form factor, you get the Flip. And so it's tiny when it's closed up, you know, and usable. I mean, you can see some notifications and stuff on it, but, you know, ultimately when you open it up, you're getting a full-size, you know, normal smartphone. And then for the people that really would rather have a tablet and something that's a little more optimized, I bought
Z Fold.
I didn't get 2. The 2.
Oh,
I
got the original. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I found it cheap before the 2 came out, and I got it. And I'm not going to lie, I love the idea of it. I couldn't get past Samsung's software. It's just so overbearing.
A lot of bloat.
Yeah, so I struggled with some of that. That was one of the main issues. And then, you know, the first one was way bigger than the second one was. And the third one will be probably thinner and lighter and smaller and, you know, more compact. And the hinge will be better to where it closes more, blah, blah, blah. It's going to get better. And I don't know. It was a cool concept. It was so neat to be able to flip it wide open and, like, launch PUBG and play a game on what felt like an iPad mini. I mean, it's almost the same exact screen size as an iPad mini. Be like, cool, but then I'm going to fold it and put it back in my pocket.
Yeah.
Or reading art. Like, that was the issue. Like, reading websites and stuff. Like, websites weren't sure exactly what
to
do with it.
How to handle it. Yeah.
Because it was like, is this desktop or mobile? And so some sites looked kind of weird in it. And there wasn't a quick scaling thing. And I don't know. Like, I think the whole thing could have just been scaled a bit differently. And the 2 might fix all that. And they have better, their software is better at putting apps in certain spaces. And ultimately, like when you're reading on a smaller display, you really don't want a full width, like that size window. It's an awkward size. And so being able to quickly snap it over to the left side to where it's basically a smartphone and then I just have some open space over here makes a whole lot more sense. But the new one for your quick looking, you know, has the full size screen on the front that you would use for most quick glancing stuff. And then when you're ready to watch a video or ready to read a book, like reading books on it was fantastic. But I think like the Surface Duo was an awesome example of like, this is really what we want out of a bigger screen. We want to be able to compartmentalize, and they've leaned obviously all the way into that. Like full screen was kind of trash. But it could have one thing on the left, one thing on the right. And it was really awesome. The Fold was like that too. Like when you did compartmentalize left and right, it was great. It was when you tried to do certain things that you're used to doing on your smartphone full screen, it was kind of awkward. And so while I don't think Samsung's great at doing stuff like that, Google's really
amazing.
Good at doing stuff
absolutely.
Like that. So, you know, and there's tons of stuff that we're seeing already about foldables and even in the Chromium repositories because they want to make sure that Chrome understands foldables. Here's where the seam is.
Yeah, because whether Google pursues it from a hardware standpoint or not, they have to be prepared for this because Chrome runs on everything. Yeah. Right. So it's crazy because I look at this. This is the Flip. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize. I mean, it's tiny when it's folded up, but this thing is the exact same screen size as my OnePlus 9 Pro. Yeah. And I think about how many people would love. Heck, I would like
fold that in half.
If this folded in half, it would be perfect because I could put it in my front pocket because I don't like putting my phone in my back pocket. it would be perfect. You know, yeah. You're going to the club, you're going to whatever, fold it up.
I mean, and great. It does some nice little tricks, you know, where it sets up, like yeah, if you're doing a video yeah. call, so it can kind of set up yeah. and act as its own track. Like, there's some nice tricks. And so I think both of these form factors make a ton of sense, you know. And you've even got, there's an ad running on Android Central right now of a video, the Fold 2 versus Huawei's new take on the Fold. Remember their first one, the entire screen folded outward. And it closed up really nicely, and it worked really well. But these screens are super... what's the opposite of durable? Super not durable.
Super not durable.
We're getting to the end of the podcast, and my words are running out. But even Huawei's new yeah, foldable, that. They went with the screen on the inside, huh. closed it around it. Like, and you can look at the... I'm looking at it right now. It's a Mr. Mobile video. The hinge on it looks great. It closes almost completely down. And so, like, hinges, screens, all this tech just keeps getting better because companies now see, oh, they're going to really go for this. We'll be the next one that supplies the screen to so-and-so. We'll be the next one that supplies the glass, the ultra thin. I mean, they're making glass that can bend, for crying out loud. I mean,
It's
what's happening? Mind-boggling. Bendable glass? What does that even mean? And so
I would love to figure out the tech behind that.
The tech is interesting, like from that perspective and what it could mean. And have you seen the rollable ones?
Yep.
So where the phone just kind of expands outward and the screen unrolls from a inside coiled kind of in one side. I love that too. Actually, I kind of like that better, if I'm being honest. Like I like that idea that, but you're still dealing with a flexible screen that's going to be less durable.
That's what I want. The scroll phone. You just pull out a little tube. You're like, let me check my notes.
Have you seen them?
Yeah, they're insane.
LG or Lenovo one made yeah. like a little concept.
It's
one.
Like yeah. we're back in the
the olden times.
Roman times.
Let me check my scroll. Yeah. Let me check my scroll.
Harold, read this.
And I don't know how they ever make a screen that can roll up. That's ever going to be able to withstand all the junk that's going to hit that screen. I have no idea how that's ever going to be a thing. I mean,
we can send ships into space that withstand tens of thousands of degrees. That's true. It can happen.
But they don't roll up into a tube.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good point. You know, that's going to be the fun part about watching all of this take shape. Ooh, look, the new Huawei one has a kickstand on it. Underneath the
oh really
yeah so he has it unfolded all the way
and it's just sitting and like a
little kickstand
and it's got a little kickstand here. Let me rewind that.
Yeah,
back.
I mean, you think you're sitting at a desk? That's exactly cool. The angle we have our devices yeah. at right now. So that's
and I'm perfect. Like that kind of thing with a keyboard and a mouse and a little Chrome OS on it. You know what I'm saying?
That's where
you start getting into the point where I'm like, yeah, dual booting onto something like that would be quite amazing. We're not there yet, so don't get excited. We're not saying that's happening, but clearly, Google is getting ready to get involved in this foldable game. And that's exciting on a number of fronts because I'm like, the idea that we could have a foldable that doesn't have all the weird bloat of all these different companies and to get a Pixel version of hardware yeah. and software and have it foldable.
Well, man. And we've talked about this.
I'd be on board.
Yeah, because you're getting everything there. Because we've talked about this, I think, on last week's podcast with the Pixel mm-hmm. 6 and the 6 Pro that are coming. The real win there is going to be the integration of hardware and software and all of and the processor all coming together. It's integrated.
Right.
Well, like we said, Google's going to have to figure out all this folding phone stuff because their stuff's going to have to work. So then if they really integrate that next level with a foldable, whew.
But and that's the cool thing is that Google is putting all this work into making sure their softwares work with foldable because it's not just Chrome. It's Android in general. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like they can come at it from a completely different angle. We know what works. We know what doesn't work. Let's build hardware around the platform instead of vice versa, which is what all the other manufacturers are doing.
Didn't Hiroshi say something about foldables like not too long ago?
Like tweet something?
Yeah. And this was, it wasn't anything specific. It was just that, you know, Android is moving into foldables and it's going to be optimized something around that. I can't remember.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, we a lot of times look at, since Google makes their own phones, as if they're somehow competitors to Samsung.
Yeah.
And they're definitely not. Like, they're working maybe not as close as they would work for a Chromebook, for instance, but when it comes to Android phones, they're working with these manufacturers to help to go, like, Samsung's like, we want to do this. We want to use Android. Can we get this working? Part of that was the developers from Google making sure that Android was going to support that in the most basic forms at first. And so, you know, so Hiroshi's going to talk about foldables and stuff from Samsung just as much as he would talk about anything else.
Absolutely.
Because it's still their team making something that works and a device that another manufacturer makes. But yeah, I'd be way more awesome if Google had their own.
Yeah, just 100%. All 100%. Integrated. And if you're holding your breath, like, this is not something that is probably going to get announced in like October or
Android
even...
Central said they might. Oh my gosh. See them. Now, it could be something like what Samsung did, where
they're just like teasing
they tease it and show it and go, hey, this is coming early 2022 or something
that
like that.
That would be so amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I cannot
as excited
wait.
As I am about the Pixel 6, like
cannot
that would
wait.
Be just
the only
just
thing.
Unbelievable.
The only thing that will make all of this better is if they have an in-person event and we get to go and experience this and hold these things when they are announced.
I am ready.
Me too.
Yeah. So we're getting close. I think maybe by the fall they might have a. You know, they're still obviously going to have to take some precautions.
Yeah, but it makes sense because the if they have it at the end of September, beginning of October, like we believe they will, they have their freestanding retail store will be open by then. It would be a great time for them to hold an event downtown New York.
Yeah,
tour the site, see what's new.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Right. Because the last event that we went to up there was in that area. Mm-hmm. It's the Chelsea area, Chelsea Market area. Is that little area called Chelsea Market, or is it just that building?
No, it's just Chelsea.
Building,
Chelsea Market is that big building. Warehousey-looking building that attaches
Where Robbie and I went up to the YouTube studio.
We're going to go up there again.
We just went right up the elevator and walked in, and they told us we couldn't be up there.
We only had
hey, how you doing? We probably feel free to leave.
15,000 subscribers.
Yeah, we did not have many subscribers at that point.
Oh, wow.
Hey, hubris counts for something, right?
That's right.
Was that 2016-ish?
It'd been 2017, February of 2017.
Yeah, that's right.
Go back and see how many subscribers.
We didn't have many subscribers.
Then. Yeah.
We might have hit 10,000.
Walk in with our plaque.
We went to CES that year, I think.
Yes.
So I bet you we were probably about 12 to 15,000.
That's crazy.
We're and rolling here up. We're like, we got invited to a Samsung event.
Oh, we were.
We're a big deal. So we're going to walk.
Kind of a big deal. Yeah. We saw YouTube. We were like, cool. See what
this
is about.
Just throwing this out there. I was in a random conversation yesterday. I won't say where or with whom. And
I love where this is going. We should end every podcast with a story by Gabe.
You can call this a humble brag if you want. It's not a brag. It's just it cracks me up the nature of people who don't understand how the world works. Made a comment about being a blogger, whatever you want to call us, tech journalists. Whatever.
We're bloggers, let's be honest.
Blogger.
We like share that. Opinions of things.
Response from someone in this group was, oh, you're a blogger? If that's a real job, I'm a lawyer.
Wow.
So I said, good for awesome. You. Good for you. How much student loan debt did you have? And I'm just like, that's great. I'm glad you're a lawyer. I have the utmost respect for people. Yeah, I mean, we know someone very close to someone who's a lawyer. We need that, and that's great. And I hold people in the highest regard that have the ability to commit to something that requires 2,500 years of school.
Yeah.
That's great. But you don't make the world go round.
You can't discount other things.
I
that
mean,
happen.
Don't get me wrong. We're not the Salvation Army over here. We're not Doctors Without Borders or anything like that. But tech makes the world go round just as much, if not more, than anything else.
Sure.
And we enjoy doing what we're doing. So, you know, whatever.
There you have it.
I don't know why. That just it really rubbed me the wrong
story.
Way.
Story from Gabriel to wrap up the podcast. We appreciate everybody tuning in this week. As always, we're going to link everything that we've talked about today down in the show notes. So go check that out and dig in a little bit more if you're interested in that. But we appreciate you all listening, and we'll catch you next week. See you. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunboxed.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunboxed.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @chromeunboxed.
Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.